You know, they don't, you could pray all this fancy and majestic words and be all frou-frou, or you could be nice and short and sweet, but the thing people remember is that you prayed. Okay. Brandon will pray, open us up in prayer. Okay. Thank you. All right, let's open up our Bibles to Matthew. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 14. So if you're in Matthew 1 like me, you're not there yet. Matthew chapter 14. So, CJ, can you read verse 13? Yeah, 13. So, when Jesus heard this, he departed. Right? It's always good to get that true feeling of a verse, to read what happens before that verse that you're studying and after the verse. Then you can get the real concept of it. Because this is a perfect example. How else are we going to know what Jesus heard? Right? We just know that he heard something, what made him react. Right? So let's go ahead and we're going to jump before it and we'll find out what he heard, right? So, and let's start at verse 6 and go through 12. Olivia, can you read that? Nice and loud since you're way in the back and don't want to be near me. Pretty straightforward what happened, right? Everybody got that, right? Everybody? CJ, you know what happened? Yeah, what happened? Beheaded whom? John the Baptist, right? Right, John the Baptist, right? So, John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus. Do we know this? That he was a cousin of Jesus, on the mom side, of course, right? John was also the one who baptized Jesus. He was a co-worker in proclaiming God's kingdom. And a large part, a very large population of Israel viewed him as a great prophet. Yes? No, I think he was born a little bit before, I think. I would have to research that. I could be wrong. You could be right. But I thought he was a little bit older. I think. Yeah. Yeah, something like that. I don't think it was quite a year, but I think there were. Mary and his mom, and the name escapes me, but they were pregnant at the same time. You know, but yeah. Yeah. So in some of Jesus' own disciples, some of those 12 started out following John before they followed Jesus. So they were close, right? You could say that they'd be close. They knew of each other. They had, you know, they had a relationship. And also, there was a lot of people what would be grieving his death at this point, including Jesus. Like I said, they had a relationship. So Jesus departed where he was, and he went to a deserted place. So he wanted to be alone, right? There are times we need a second to catch our breath, right? To catch our breath. Jesus knows that feeling. Jesus knows that feeling. He's been there. You know, that's why he could relate to us. He could comfort us because he knows where we're at. You know, could he have prevented this event from happening? Of course he could have. You know, he's God. He could have. Sometimes bad stuff happens. Sometimes bad stuff happens to good people. Right? Sometimes it does. In Romans, keep your finger in Matthew because we'll be back. So in Romans, we're turning to the right. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, 28. Excuse me. Desi, can you read that?
And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are their purpose called according to his purpose.
You know, sometimes it's hard to understand, you know, why things happen the way they do. You know, Jesus knew the way they were going to happen. Jesus knew it was going to work out. Jesus knew John the Baptist was written in the book of life and he would see him up in heaven. Jesus knew all that. He was still saddened at that news. Saddened the news that he had been killed. You know, God has a plan. God has a plan. Even events like the beheading of one, you know, who furthered the kingdom of heaven, you know, even those events, you know, it's hard to understand, but those can, if you will, have a purpose. You know, I mean, you know, it's sad and everything, but there's purpose. You know, we might not see it right away, but we would know once we get to heaven. But those times, those events, can be used to spread the good news of Jesus. But Jesus still reacted. He was sad, right? He crossed the lake in a boat, knowing that it would give him some time alone. Now, it was mentioned that there was a multitude, right? This multitude was 5,000 plus people. 5,000 plus. Usually it was like 5,000 men plus maybe their spouses, if they had spouses and kids. So there had been a lot of people, right? So that 5,000 saw Jesus depart. You know, not having a boat, you know, they saw Jesus went to the other side of the lake. They go, well, we'll just go around the lake, right? Now, if you guys saw someone on the other side of the lake, right? You didn't have the boat. You have two choices, right? You could either walk the long distance, depending on the size of the lake, right? You could walk around to meet them, or you could just wait for them, right? Wait, and maybe he'll come back by that way. If you know how to swim. You learned it. You know, all that hinges your decisions. Okay, three decisions. I'll give her that. Maybe you want to swim. But if all those three decisions hinges on how badly you want to meet with him, right? How badly do you want to meet with him? That multitude had a great desire to be close with Jesus. No matter what the hardship, right? It didn't matter if they had to walk around a lake. They were going to do it because that's what it's going to take. And then there's Jesus, right? We said he crossed the lake. Why did he cross the lake? To get to the side. What he was going there, what do you think? He was crossing the lake. He was with a whole bunch of people? No, he was alone, right? He went there to depart, right? He didn't ask anybody to come with him. So he's going to the other side of the lake. So there's Jesus. You know, he went there to be alone. But here comes 5,000 plus people, right? It'd be like, look, and 5,000 people come. How would we react if we went somewhere to be alone, then all of a sudden there's 5,000 people just going, hey, Ryan, how are you doing? Right. By the way, that would be good, right? How did Jesus react? How do you think Jesus would react? He definitely stayed. He didn't sprint the other way. Sorry. It doesn't mention that, but he might have sprinted towards him. He might have walked towards him. In Matthew 14, verse 14, we will find out exactly how he reacted. Chapter 14, verse 14. Excuse me. Nick, can you read that? Yep, 14, 14. So he didn't not only sprint the other way, he didn't do that, but he saw that multitude and he had compassion towards them. Why do you think he had compassion towards them? He understood their hardships, exactly. Some of them might have been dealing with the same thing he was dealing with, right? Because John the Baptist was very loved, so I'm sure some of them were grieved. But it also says that there was people among them that had a special need. Yes, Nick?
Because they would have to relate with some of them being sick as well.
Right. They went out of their way, they were sick, had compassion, and he healed them, it says. You know, he had compassion with them. He may have had a bad day, right? When you say a good friend, a good cousin passed away and he was grieving, he was having a bad day. You know, he was having a bad day. But it doesn't mean God's work stops. It doesn't mean God's work doesn't stop until you start feeling better, right, about yourself. Jesus saw the needs of others. He saw the needs of others. Jesus wanted to show love towards others. You know, Jesus wants us to show love towards others. You know, he's using himself as an example, right? He's the ultimate example. To show love towards everyone, to have compassion with others. You know, have compassion with others during the good times, and especially during the bad times. We need to be strong and have compassion still, even if we're having a bad day. In verses 15 through 16, God bless you. Ryan, can you read those? All right. So in the middle of this huge, you know, you'd probably say a revival. Jesus is healing the sick, you know, this massive group therapy session, if you will, right? He's healing the sick. He's just comforting everybody. And Jesus' disciples, you know, they raise up a concern. You know, they wanted to send the multitude away because they had no food for them, right? You know, they were looking ahead. You can say that was a good thing, right? They're planning ahead. They're looking ahead, you know, at a problem that might be coming up, right? And their solution, what was their solution to this problem that they saw? Right. Send them away. Jesus, we can't deal with this. We can't provide for them. Send them away, and we'll just eat what we have, and they can deal with their own. Right? It was to cut ties with the people they were fellowshipping with. Right? That was their solution. Is we don't need a fellowship with them. We, you know, I'm going to take care of myself. Now, Jesus had it under control. Right? Jesus had it under control. Jesus always has it under control. There's no surprise there. But God can meet every need. Every need. Whether it be spiritual, whether it be emotional, or even a physical need. Jesus can meet that. Let's read in 17, 18, and 19. Brendan? Matthew 14, 17 through 19. So how many people were we talking about? 5,000, right? Plus. Don't forget the plus. I mean 5,000. Now, I don't know. I know at least four of you guys, I think, went to the fireworks, right? There was a lot of people there, right? Do you think there was 5,000 people there?
No.
I don't think there was 5,000 people either. I mean, but there was a lot of people there. You know, that's a lot of mouths to feed, isn't it? Especially men, right? We like to eat a lot. I don't know. Yeah, you're a growing boy. then your mind starts going, how big was this fish, right? These two fish. I mean, how big were they? Or how big were these loaves? Is it like a monster size oven that they came out of? You know, they're probably just normal loaves, right? you know, but Jesus fed 5,000. So if we want to break it down, 5,000 plus the 12, what was with them, probably ate himself, so that's 5,013. Then plus the women and children, right? He fed them with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. What? That is crazy, isn't it? That's crazy. You know, Jesus demonstrated that he will take care of us, no matter what the situation. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too small. He will take care of us. And we need to have a faith. We need to have faith in that. That Jesus will take care of us no matter what. He is almighty, right? There's nothing he can't do. So why shouldn't we have the faith? Let's read on. Excuse me. 20 through 21. Adam? So what happened? So they all ate, right? They're all, you know, all the men were full. They're probably taking naps now, you know, right after Thanksgiving dinner. You always want really tired. So then all the disciples, they took up their baskets and started picking up the leftovers, right? So how much leftovers were there? Huh? 12 baskets? And a lot. I heard two different answers. Sorry. They were ringing. So there was 12 baskets full. Not just a little bit. 12 baskets full. And it's funny. There was 12 baskets full, and there's how many disciples? 12. Right? There's 12 disciples. Now, those disciples, did they have faith that they could feed these people? No, right? They had leftovers. They had a whole basket for themselves. Maybe they were going to eat it the next night or the next week. Who knows? Well, maybe the bread was left. Maybe they ate more fish that next night. They salted it. You know, that's how they preserve things back then, is they salt it. Fine. Sorry, I got screwed up. All right, but God will bless us more than we can handle. He'll bless us with leftovers, right? He'll give us enough, whatever we need, but still there's more. There's more. In Psalms, we're done in Matthew. Psalms, that's the end of the story. The end of the miracle. What a miracle it was, though, right? In Psalms 23, Psalms 23. 5 and 6. Brandon, can you read that? Yep. Psalms 23, verse 5 and 6. Six also. So what does that say to you guys? That's a long pause. Long pause. We thinking, you prepare a table before me. Just start with that. Start with something that started out in the presence of my enemy. So he's talking about the dinner table. What table? It's obviously figurative. So he prepares a meal or prepares something that you need, even if your enemy is around you, right? God prepares that. Anointing with oil, so it's blessings, right? Usually, you know, we've all seen that where anoint people with oil. That's usually when you pray for them or you're blessing them or, you know, it's just an anointment for their life, right? But my cup overflows. So that's the blessings in our lives, right? It overflows. You know, it doesn't stop. The blessings don't stop. You know, the more You know, it's crazy is, even with this, if you're helping out people, I know if you've guys done this, you help out people, but you know, you're blessing somebody, but don't you feel more blessed when you bless people, right? Don't you? I know I do. I mean, it's just a natural feeling. You feel more blessed blessing others. So you get more blessings back by blessing people. I know. Black. Oh. Surely your goodness and love will follow me. So no doubt, God is with us. He's going to follow us. He's going to be with us. You know, and I will dwell in your house of the Lord forever. Right? You won't forget who the Lord is. Will you? Right. We need to trust in the living God because he blesses us, or he blesses those who do. You know, what the world viewed as impossible. Do you think the world would say, oh, sure, you could feed 5,000 men with 2 fish and 5 loaves? We don't try to just...
From a world standpoint?
Yeah, world standpoint.
Oh, yeah, absolutely impossible.
Absolutely impossible. But they didn't have huge ovens back then, right? Those loaves were probably yay. But nothing is too great for our almighty God, right? Right? Nick, can you end us in prayer?